Would you please turn to John chapter 3? Some of the verses we're going to be reading tonight, we've read several times over the years, but we're going to be reading some of them again, and it's a path into where we want to go. So in John chapter 3, verse 5, Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." So we know that in order to get into the kingdom of God, we have to be born again. Now turn over to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Take a look at one verse, verse 19. Jesus says, "And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Well, we're not going to dwell on this verse very long at all, but we know that we must be born again in order to enter into the kingdom. Now, once we're in the kingdom, Jesus is saying, "I'll give unto you the keys of the kingdom." Well, what would that mean? Well, the keys of the kingdom would be how to successfully operate by the kingdom or according to the kingdom while you're here on earth. I mean, when you get to heaven, there's nothing to loose and bind. You know what I'm saying? And it's by the use of those keys that proper loosing and binding is going to take place. So then I need to know the keys. I need to understand them. I need to find out what they are. Let me just kind of be blunt. If you don't know the keys to the kingdom, how can you successfully live as a Christian here on earth? You can't. Now, you'll live by a lot of things, but you will not have a successful Christian life. Not the way God defines it in His Word. It's impossible. You have to operate by these keys. All right, now, turn over to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Now, those of us who have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we are the just, or we have been justified by virtue of that salvation. And he says here, the just shall live by faith. Now turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. And this is speaking of Christians. "For we walk by faith, not by sight." We walk by faith, not by sight. That is, really, that's like a statement of faith in itself. Because if you don't know how to walk by faith, then what are you doing? You're walking by sight. All right, now look over in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. "But without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." So, we're seeing then that by virtue of being born again, we're in the kingdom. Then Jesus says, "Well, I'll give you the keys of the kingdom. I'll help you understand how to operate according to kingdom principles." We see then that the just shall live by faith, and then we're supposed to walk by faith, not by sight. Now, if I'm not walking by sight, I'm walking by faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. It is impossible to please God. Now look at Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. And in verse 4, Jesus says, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Well, I'm born again, so I'm in the kingdom. And Jesus says he's going to give me the keys to the kingdom. Then I find out in the Word of God that I'm supposed to walk by faith, not by sight, and that as someone who's been justified by the blood of Jesus, I'm supposed to live by faith. Then I learned that without faith it's impossible to please God. Then Jesus turns around here and says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Well, I'm told that I'm supposed to live by faith, walk by faith. The just shall live by faith. And then I'm to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Well, did the Bible come from God? Well, obviously it did. So then, if I'm to live by faith and walk by faith and live by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God, then the word and faith are directly connected. Okay? Now, that right there is a kingdom key. I'm to live by faith, walk by faith, and live by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. That means there is a direct connection between the word and faith. You cannot get away from that. If you're going to live by the kingdom, all right? The two are connected. Okay. Now that I know the two are connected, I need to understand a little bit better how they're connected so that I can live by faith. We'll look over in Romans chapter 10. In Romans chapter 10, look at verse 17. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now we see specifically how faith and the word work together in me. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So now, this is a major kingdom key. If I'm supposed to live by faith, where do I get it? Well, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you go through from Genesis to Revelation, you're not going to see or read another verse that tells you faith comes by something else. This is it. This is a major kingdom key. Now, folks can argue with this all they want, but they have no scripture to back up their argument or their opposition to the fact that this is it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Every now and then you'll hear Christians say things like, well, you know, boy, I tell you what, my faith was really, you know, increased as a result of that sickness or as a result of that car wreck or something, or, you know, whatever. But that's not true. That is impossible. Listen, that is impossible. Anybody who says that is wrong. Faith does not come by car wrecks. Faith does not come by a lousy marriage. Faith does not come by, you know, your house burning down. Faith doesn't come with a terrible diagnosis from the doctor. Faith does not come from any of those things. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's it. There's no other option. Now look in Jude, and obviously they're just one chapter. So Jude, you know, chapter 1, and look here in verse 20. Jude 1, look at verse 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, or praying in tongues. Okay, so here's another major kingdom key. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's it. I build myself up on my most holy faith, which comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, by praying in tongues. All right? From Genesis to Revelation, you will not find another verse that says something like, build yourself up on your most holy faith by doing something else. No, this is it. So now when it comes to this whole thing of the just shall live by faith, walk by faith, not by sight, and living by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God, it's directly connected to the Word of God, and faith coming by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, and then me turning around and building myself up on my most holy faith by praying in tongues. Okay, this is it. And I don't know how to emphasize this any stronger. And if anybody argues with this, what else do you find in the Word of God which replaces these things? What else do you see in Scripture that says anything about faith comes by some other way other than or in addition to hearing and hearing by the Word of God? And where else do you see in Scripture where it says you will build yourself up on your most holy faith by doing something other than praying in tongues or in addition to praying in tongues? It's not in here. This is it. But you have Christians who will argue these points. What's a nice way to put this? We accommodate what they say. And we smile. And we don't want to have a discussion about it. But they're wrong. If somebody says faith comes another way other than by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, that is false doctrine. Are you listening to me? It's false doctrine. Now, maybe during a time of sickness or tragedy or financial challenge or whatever, you decided to use your faith. But faith doesn't come by these things. Don't anybody come to me and say, well, now, Brother Martin, I want you to know faith came when... No, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Now, see, that's the Word of God. Now, the reason I'm kind of hammering this is because if somebody says anything other, it's because they have not built up their faith by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because if you are in the Word of God, and I mean feeding the Word of God into you, then you're going to come to the place of clearly seeing that faith only comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. That's it. There is no other option. So then, if I'm not getting into the Word of God, then faith isn't coming. It's simple. It's very simple. I'm not exempt. Just because I stand behind the pulpit, I'm not exempt from this. And likewise, if I don't do any praying in tongues at all, how am I building myself up on my most holy faith? Here's the problem, or one of the problems. We convince ourselves it's working when we don't do what the Word of God says. We assume it's working. Well, I'm not in sin. And? The Bible doesn't say as long as you're not in sin, faith comes and keeps coming. I mean, it doesn't say that. But I'm not in sin. Well, praise God. What do you want, a medal? You're supposed to not have sin in your life. Be holy as I am holy. The moment you got born again, the power of that life in you was power to say no to all forms of sin. But that doesn't mean that you're walking by faith. That doesn't mean your faith has developed the way it could be. It just means you're not caving in to temptation. Now, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And I build myself up on my most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Those are my only two options. But now look over in Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. What I'm getting ready to show you here, we're going to look here and a couple of other places. What I'm getting ready to show you right now is, for some people, this is going to be one of the greatest breakthrough revelations for them in their entire Christian life. Because it's going to answer the question, why isn't God doing more in my life?
All right? Now look here.
Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20. Now, the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect, or that's maturity, make you perfect in every good work to do his will. Now look here, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. All right, it says here that God is working in me to do that which is well-pleasing in his sight. Now, that's what it says. This is not a tricky verse. It says he's working in me to bring about that which is well-pleasing in his sight. So then, I read that verse, and I sit back and I say, hallelujah, God is working in me to do that which is well-pleasing in his sight. Well, hallelujah. Well, let's look at somewhere else. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Well, that's very similar to what we just read over there in Hebrews. So then, glory to God, I've got two verses that are telling me, God's working in me to will and to do of his good pleasure. Okay. So then, how much of your life is a reflection of his good pleasure? That's a question a lot of people don't want to answer. So then, what? Has God been on vacation? I mean, what? He's not working in you the way he said he would? What's going on here? How about if we ask this? What exactly is God working with? Well, he's working with me. I know that. What exactly is he working with? The answer is over in Mark. Mark chapter 16. Turn to Mark chapter 16 and take a look beginning in verse 19. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with, that were them should not be in there. The Lord working with and confirming what? The word, with signs following. The word, the Lord working with his word. Okay, God is working in me to will and to do of his good pleasure. God is working in me to bring about his goodwill. All what we just read over there in Philippians and Hebrews. But what is he working with? He's working with his word. In our born-again spirit, he's working with his word to bring about his good will. Because his good will is revealed in his word. You see this? So therefore, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I build myself up on my most holy faith by praying in the Holy Spirit. God is working in me to will and to do of his good pleasure, but he's working in me with his word. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And as the word is coming in me, now God's got something there to work with. And he uses his word to bring about his good pleasure. Now, the reason this is so critical is because, let's just be flat out honest. There's a bunch of Christians out there, they act like they just got born yesterday, born again yesterday. I mean, they really don't resemble what a Christian ought to resemble after 30 years of salvation. How in the world then can we say that God is working in them to will and to do of his good pleasure? You can't. That's because the more word you put in you is the more God has to work with. He works with his word in us. And so, I mean, what he's, his word in our spirit, and now he works with us. In the beginning was the word, okay? Now, we're born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God. It all keeps going back to the word. And so, I take the word, I put it in me. And the word that I'm putting in me is compatible with the life of God on the inside of me. And then God's got this to work with now. He works with his word. Because, look, this is going to sound almost blasphemous. But if it were totally up to God, absent of his word, and he was just going to do it, I'd say he's failing pretty miserably. Because there are a lot of Christians, they flat out do not resemble what a Christian's supposed to resemble. Listen, when you're walking by faith and you're living by faith, you're not going to murmur. You're not going to complain. It won't happen. When you're walking by faith and you're living by faith, you're not going to get down and come into the church belly aching and fussing about your lousy family situation. You don't do these things when you're walking by faith. Why? Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, and the word of God has the answer for all of these situations. This is how you know where people are coming from. This is how you know where they're walking. But we're so accustomed to people not living by the word that we've created our own kind of Christianity that we're willing to accept because, well, that's just the way it is. Okay, how does that measure up to the word? How does that compare to the word? See, we're easy. No, it's easy for us to make excuses. Well, you know, I'm just going through it right now, and things just aren't right, and things just don't. Okay, do you believe God? Oh, yeah, I believe God. You believe his word? Oh, yeah, I believe his word. Well, then what's your problem? Wait, don't answer. I can tell you. You don't believe the way you say. You're not where you make us think you are. You're deceiving yourself. You are living in denial. And I'm not talking about a river in Egypt. You are living in denial. Because the word says one thing and your testimony is something else. I'm not talking about the testimony where you stand, oh, I just love the Lord. I just love the Lord and love everybody here. Oh, y'all pray that I just make it through. What? Pray that you make it through what? The end of the service? What? We're good at testimonying. We're good at saying the right things. It's because we've been trained like parrots. Polly want a cracker? Polly, praise the Lord. Polly, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ah, glory to God. Glory to God. We're good at repeating all the right things, but when it comes right down to it, the truth is known by how we live consistently. Now, there are a lot of people, you know, the Lord was ministering to me about this the other day. You're going to run into Christians. In fact, I'm going to say this. If you've been born again any length of time, 10 years, you have run into Christians that I'm getting ready to describe. They're good at talking about their experiences. They're good at talking about what they've seen. Now, we're talking about Christians. They're not in sin, all right? They're in church. And for all intents and purposes, I mean, they really do love God and they're serving God. But they have so much in their past, their Christian past, that they talk about what they've seen, what they've heard, what they've experienced, what they've done, the services they've been in. And when they do, and we hear that, and it's not like they go around bragging all the time, it just comes up. Okay, so many of those people are living by those experiences and those testimonies. But when it comes to the core of what we're seeing here in the Word, they're not as far along as what you'd think. Because if you listen to a whole lot more of what they say, you're going to begin to realize that the Word of God is not their standard the way they say. You know, you talk, there's some folks that, you know, they pray for people and people get healed and, you know, I mean, whatever the case would be, so what? I mean, praise God for the healings, okay? Don't misunderstand me. That stuff was going on in Corinth. They came behind in no gift. The gifts of the Spirit were in operation at Corinth. People were getting healed. All kinds of things were happening. But they were messed up. Terribly messed up. Well, see, in the body of Christ, you have people who are living by their testimonies. They're not backsliders by any means. They're living by testimonies, living by experiences, living by things that they have seen. This has happened a whole lot. Like, for people that have attended Rhema Bible Training Center, they come away with the testimonies of Kenneth Hagin Sr. But their own life, their own walk, it's not there. Same thing at the prayer center out in Tulsa. People live by the testimonies. And the teachings of Dave Roberson, but their life doesn't measure up to what they speak. Do you understand what I'm saying? So we learn how to talk the right talk. We know how to say the right things in a given situation. But you hang around some of these folks long enough and you'll find out where they're coming from. When a tough situation arises, when a battle arises, I mean, you just listen. Some of them are going to start talking the negative. They're going to start talking in opposition to the Word. They're not going to talk the Word. And it's just amazing to me how many times you get around people that, you know, they come across as being, you know, these walk-by-faith people, and they complain about stuff, and they want prayer. And then if you start mentioning, well, you know, God said in His Word, you know, that whatever the situation would be, you know, here's a verse. I know that. I know the Word of God says, and I believe the Word of God, but I'm telling you, it's just, and then they go off. It's like, okay, you know, maybe that works on some people, and at one time it did work on me, but not anymore. It's not because I'm better. It's because I've reached a point in my walk with God where I understand what you're saying is not compatible with the Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. When you are living by the Word of God, there is no murmuring, complaining. It won't be there. Because that's one of the things that got the children of Israel in so much hot water with God. He said, I'm tired of your murmuring and complaining. Why were they murmuring and complaining? They didn't really believe Him. They didn't really trust Him. Look over to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, verse 14. The sower soweth the word. The sower soweth the word. Verse 20. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Now, you know, a lot of people want to get off onto the, you know, the 30-fold, the 60, and 100, and make a big deal out of those numbers. What I want to point out is, you're bringing forth fruit. What fruit are you bringing forth? Fruit of the word. You're bringing forth the word, the fruit of the word. The sower sows the word. You bring forth the fruit of the word. Now, there's no way to get around that. Now, think about this. There are a lot of people out there, a lot of Christians now. They're wanting to go deeper into God. Well, I would hope all Christians would. But why in the world do we need so many spiritual warfare seminars? Why? Why do we need... And
well, Brother Martin, because we need to know how to fight the devil.
Really?
Okay, I get it. Seriously, I do. You're right. We need to know how to fight the devil.
But see if any of you have heard anything like this. These spiritual warfare people, and they start identifying all these different devils by name. You know, like the spirit of Jezebel, all right? That's one we can all relate to. But then there's one, I think they call it the spirit of Kundalini or something like that. There, huh? Yeah, the spirit of a python thing. There's, you know, I don't know, the spirit of Rufus, the spirit, I don't know. But they start, all these different, you know, the spirit of this has begun to move into the church, and the spirit of this has begun coming against, and the spirit of this, and we have to take a stand against the spirit of this. It's like, you know, hold on here. Time out. Stop. Where are you getting this stuff? Seriously, where are you getting this? When I look in Scripture, I don't see Jesus sitting down with the apostles and saying, now, fellas, we're going to have to come against the spirit of Caesar because he's doing bad things to us Jews. We're going to have to come against the spirit of Pilate. We're going to have to come against the spirit of, I don't see that anywhere. And I don't see Peter or Paul or John or James or Matthew or any of the others beyond Jesus talking about we got to deal with the spirit of this and we got to deal with the spirit of that and start naming. And there is nothing in Scripture that tells us to try to figure out, now, which spirit is it that's coming against our church? It's the spirit of Klingon. It's the spirit of... Yeah, I am making fun. Because what I see in Scripture, now listen, what I see in the Word is this. Let me paraphrase. I really don't care who you are or what you are. In the name of Jesus, go. That's what I see in the Word. I don't see the need to go to a seminar to be able to identify specific demons and specific devils and what they do and how they operate and all this other. Just, if there's demonic activity, just stand up and say, in the name of Jesus, go! Well, Brother Martin, you just don't understand. There's just so much hell going on in my life. No problem, get the hell out! Take authority over it!
You can quote me on that one.
That is the one time you can do that legally from the pulpit. You folks watching, you woke up, didn't you? But no, I know that was joking, but seriously, if you say all hell's breaking against you, well, then take authority over hell. It's not really hell coming against you, all right? But,
well, you know, he's been in church and he's serving the Lord, but I'm telling you, he's just messing around with all the women. He's got a spirit of perversion operating in his life.
Really? How many of you heard things like that?
He's got a spirit of perversion operating in his life.
Really? How about this? He's giving in to the lust of the flesh. How about that, huh? Turn over to Galatians chapter 5. You got to see this. I mean, I'm not sure a lot of Christians have ever really seen this before. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. Now, the works of the devils. No, wait a minute. Well, no, what's that say? The works of the flesh. Now, this is written to Christians. The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do, those which live
with these things in their lifestyle shall not inherit the kingdom of God. In other words, boom, you're out. I mean, you do not make it. You can be a Christian, but if you're incorporating these things in your lifestyle, you're out. And notice there is not one mention of demons in there. There's not one mention of a devil. It's the flesh. And so you've got Christians out there, they're so quick to want to blame devils for everything. Why, he's got a spirit of perversion. Oh, okay, hold on, hold it. Now listen, okay, you said that. What that means then is if we call him in and we have an intervention and we all start, in Jesus' name, you spirit of perversion, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, go, 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 blah, blah, etc. Okay, what that means then is after we get done casting that thing out of him, or if it's not actually in him, casting it off him, whatever the case would be, that means from that day forward, he's never again going to have those issues. Seriously? No. See, here's the thing. When you get into the Word, you understand about spiritual warfare. You understand, according, now listen, Jesus, author and finisher of our faith, all right, our example, looking unto Jesus. I examine the life of Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and I see how, yeah, there were times when Jesus cast devils out. I understand that, no argument there, but I don't see Jesus trying to identify them all by name, describe them by their activity, so on and so forth. I know, I didn't forget, we are legion, we are many. I remember that one. But you don't see Jesus doing what you see a lot of Christians doing today. Jesus, it was like, come out, you unclean spirit. Enter him no more. Okay, that's how Jesus did it. That's how the apostles did it. If you get into the Word, that's how you end up doing it. And you don't have to go to all these seminars and all these clinics and read all these books with all this other stuff. And it's not that the other people aren't trying to help. They're trying to help. The problem is, when you're walking by faith, you don't need all that other. The revelation of how to deal with these things is right here in Scripture. Now, along with that, you know, why do you need all these prophetic seminars? Why do you need all these apostolic seminars? Why do you need all of this? Because a lot of that stuff is just boneheaded weird. It's flaky. If you want to know about the prophetic, if you want to know about the apostolic, whatever that means, if you want to know about these things, your answer's right here in the Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. And the reason you've got so much of this stuff going on out there in the body of Christ is because Christians aren't getting into the Word. They're going to seminars. They're going to crusades. They're going to clinics. And in some cases, you got to pay all kinds of money to go to this stuff. Well, for crying out loud, buy yourself a $100 Bible and save a lot of gas money, meal money, travel money, and get into it. Get into it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. We walk by faith, not by sight. That means I'm supposed to walk by the Word, not by sight. I need the Word more than I need the seminars. Why so many prosperity seminars? Why should I have to go to a prosperity conference? If I get into the Word, line upon line, precept upon precept, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, I'm going to understand God's plan. But the key is to get into the Word. Look over in Hebrews chapter 4. Now again, a lot of these folks, these seminars and all these people that call themselves prophetic teachers and I mean whatever, you know, however it is they describe themselves, you have to understand they're trying to help people. They're honestly trying to help Christians, you know, live the overcoming life. Okay, I appreciate that. But man, the answer is in the Word. The answer is in the Word. Here in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Okay,
I get into the Word. I get into the Word, into the Word, into the Word. I keep sowing, sowing, sowing. Get into the Word. And the Word begins working in me, God working with the Word, to help me understand all this stuff about spiritual warfare. Understand anything relative to, you know, the work of the prophetic, the work of the apostolic, prosperity, healing, confession. How does confession work? All of these things. The answers are here in the Word of God. They're right here. This is a major kingdom key. If I exalt prophetess so-and-so and her teaching concerning the operation of the prophetic over what I get from the Word of God, I'm misplacing my faith. I'm trying to get faith from her. Now listen, guys, like some of you, I've been around enough and I've seen some really weird things from people that you otherwise think would be pretty stable in life. And they tie it into, well, you don't understand about this, and you don't understand about that, and you don't... No, I do. I do. Like one preacher told me, he said, well, if you understood spiritual warfare, and I said, I do understand spiritual warfare. I look to Jesus and the apostles as my pattern, as my example. I do what they did. How can I go wrong? How can I miss it if I look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith? How can I miss it? But we're at a time where there's so much other stuff going on that if we don't go along with the other stuff, we're ignorant fools. And we really don't understand. We really don't get it. And you can't reason with folks like that. They'll just kind of look at you when you don't want to pat you on the head. Yeah, okay, there you go. You poor little thing. Maybe someday your eyes will be opened. I think there's a spirit of deception working in your life. I think there's a spirit of stupid operating in your life. Some people don't need a spirit of stupid. They work so hard at it on their own. That's not nice, is it? Okay, let's get back to this. Praise God. The more I get into the Word, you know what? Here's the thing. Every one of us in here have been majorly or minorly impacted by strangeness. Every one of us. Now, if you go to God, say, you know what, God? All the stuff I've heard about this subject, that subject, and this thing, and the other stuff, and all this. You know what, God? Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take all this stuff, and I'm going to put it over here on the shelf. And I'm going to start reading your Word. I'm just going to read. And I'm going to pray in the Spirit. And I know faith's going to come, but I also know this. You said in your Word that the entrance of your Word giveth light, bringeth light, and giveth understanding to the simple. That word simple is talking about those who don't yet fully understand. So because of that, I'm just going to get into your Word. I'm going to start reading. And I'm just going to keep reading. And I'm going to pray in the Spirit. And I'm asking you to bring clarity to me concerning all these things. Because I don't want to be involved in a bunch of flakiness. Now look, these Christians out there that, you know, again, they are trying to help. And they mean well. But just because somebody has good intentions, it doesn't mean that what they're doing is right. And the thing is, a lot of those folks, they may not come off as being weird. They may come off as being really nice people, very sincere people. Well, you know, praise God for it. I will tell you this much. Some of the folks that teach some of this stuff, they're not nearly as goofy as the people who listen to them. Now here's, again, what it all comes down to is faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Praying in tongues builds me up on my most holy faith. Then I'm able to live by faith. Yes, thank you. He reminded me of something I didn't write down. A lot of people are trying too hard to live by faith. They need to focus more on developing their faith. Here's why. The more that your faith is developed, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, praying in tongues, build yourself up on your most holy faith. Okay, if you focus on that, here's what happens. The faith grows. It develops, all right? When it does, the fruit of that is going to be a faith lifestyle. You're not going to, I'm trying so hard to believe God and to walk by faith. You don't have to. When it's in you in abundance, it just happens. That's the way it was with Jesus. And we can do the works of Jesus. Don't think in terms of just, you know, well, open the blind eyes and the lame walk and raise the dead. Think in terms of walking every day, living every day by the word of God. So the more that faith is developed in us, is the less we have to try so hard to live by faith. It is a byproduct, a fruit of what has been developed on the inside of us. So guys, I want to encourage you with this tonight. One of the most the major key, faith, comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We build ourselves up on our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. That right there, those two elements are a major, basic, fundamental key to the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord.